from Remington Park, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, through the magic of air travel. A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM Online and at our website, stevepick.com. Got here. We actually a little late, and about a half hour late, which was a little bit of a surprise. Southwest usually pretty reliable on that front, but had to come over to the racetrack, wanted to get the lay of the land. I haven't been here, as mentioned, since the aughts, and closing day Saturday, the Springboard Mile, and much, much more. And sometimes when you have race day, you build out from the feature and try to enhance everything. But frankly, this Springboard Mile needs no added, the way it drew up yesterday, needs no underpinnings. And a terrific and really potential-laden Springboard Mile here Saturday night. And the, 11:19 Eastern time post for the Springboard. And so you've got to do whatever, keep as busy as you need to during the day. Make sure you're rested up for this, because it's a really nice card, and the meet concludes with the feature, which is kind of cool. Everybody builds up to the $400,000 event, and this race, I'm sure we'll talk either today or tomorrow to Matt Vance and get his thought, but this race has to be knocking on the door. In fact, when we talk to Hammer about the graded stake committee, be interesting to know. And who knows? Might even hear with the announcement of the graded stake committee decisions. Might even hear that this for next year gets upgraded to a grade three, because it's very, very close to doing that. Only one graded stake participant in the race, but it, just on reputation and figure strength alone, you get a sense that this race is not far off from being turned into a grade three to get started. Get a toehold on the graded stake scale. Looking forward to this. The field, and it's funny because we knew about Carl Broberg. Broberg had, obviously eager to get gun flash in, and he got in. He wasn't even an issue. In fact, and not only did he get in, he drew beautifully. He drew the two hole with Christian Torres, but the rest of this field, you either are familiar or you're going to get familiar fast. You start on the rail with Echo Again. And, of course, the rather flashy debut winner at Saratoga for Ron Winchell and the Asmussen team, Ricardo Santana, rode him that day and is back aboard. Rosario had him in the Iroquois, and of course that did not go as planned, you might recall. And the was there, of course, for that with Curly Jack, and the Iroquois got a little bit of a break from that point. So Echo Again leads this field, and you go back to the you know, the debut, the 94 Buyer, and all the figures you're going to be impressed with. Gun Flash, as mentioned, for Broberg and Jerry Namy. So two gun runners in the one and the two post. There's actually an interesting assortment of regional breeds in here, too, that we'll get to. But Gunflash and Broberg told you how excited he is, and he's not worried about the stretch out, and in fact, didn't necessarily expect him to be successful going three quarters when he debuted, and he's got the win here at Remington. He got quite a few of the horses in the mile that are already, you know, winners here. Campfire Creed, Danny Pish, a Jimmy Creed out of the More Than Ready mare, kind of screams turf, but has been A-okay, frankly, on the main track. I mean, obviously, down the road, as this one gets older, you would think that turf's in the future at some point, but two wins and two placements thus far, including winning the Kip DeVille and then getting beat a Zop in the Clever Trevor. He's also, you know, up into the 80s on a Buyer scale, 82 in that Clever Trevor. And Danny Pish has had a solid meet. Lil Sweet Thang, Donnie K. Von Hemel. And Donnie, the resurgent Donnie K. Von Hemel, after a difficult stretch going back a couple of years, Donnie's having has had a very good meet. 31 starters, 6 wins. And Lil Sweet Thang, Dan McGaw homebred, a Texas bred by Caleb's Posse. So Donnie K, the opportunity to do good things with a horse that's the son of one of his best, if not his best. The big Q aboard, Luis Quinonez. Lil Sweet Thang, the 4-hole here, coming off of an allowance win. Was a first out winner going 6. This one actually, in fact, along with the Jade Gellner horse, Ghost Hero, we'll get to the Oklahoma bred, the only participant in the race that has got a win at the distance. Two of them have won at a mile already. Giant Mischief, likely to go favored, coming off of the allowance win, 2 for 2, the Indiana debut, and then the big win at Keeneland, Breeders' Cup weekend, going 7/8, 95 Buyer. So, obviously a serious player for Brad Cox. This is the Into Mischief out of Vertical Oak, Stone Street bred, owned by Spendthrift and Steve Landers. $475,000 Keeneland yearling. Florent Giroux visits to ride. Todd Fincher. He's had horses at the meet, and actually he's had a wonderful meet here with selective placements. 11 starters, 5 wins for Fincher. He's going to take the blinkers off American Outlaw. This is a homebred Dale Taylor Racing, an American Pharaoh out of a Motectum mare, winner at First Asking and beaten a length and actually between a couple of runners in here, but at Remington went stretched to a mile. Horse that likes to be involved, doesn't necessarily have to be on the lead, and I think one of the things that Fincher is trying to do here with the blinkers off is to relax American Outlaw a little bit, because in his debut he settled and then came, and that was at 5 furlongs. So the 6 horse, American Outlaw, Fincher. Then the Oklahoma bred is mentioned, Jade Gellner, Ghost Hero, coming off the wire-to-wire win with Stewie Elliott, but Stewie's going to choose an Asmussen because, of course, he's first call for Asmussen in the region. And in the meantime, Ghost Hero has got a pair of wins. Did not break the maiden in a maiden special. Tried twice against State Bred Company, but then won the Oklahoma Juvenile in the Classics card. And then stretched out successfully in the McNeil, the prep for this. Zashaman Ghost, the Clark Brewster bred. $77,000 purchase at the October sale in 21. Kind of inching up the buyer scale, 76 last. Asmussen, second option from the Asmussen barn, the Run Happy for Ed Farmer Beggs, the second, and our friend Bo Lane with partners, bred Money Run. Seems a cut beneath, but solid enough. The eight, Money Run, and then Wild Atlantic Storm, an Iowa bred, another Iowa bred, and of course the winner, and really quite a nice winner of the Clever Trevor. And this is a horse that's never been worse than second in five starts. Ray Ashford trains, and Goncalves will be aboard. So there's your field of nine for the Springboard Mile, Saturday night, 11:19. A very, very good addition with, I mean, you're talking about horses with, say, 80 buyers or above, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, seven of them, and this is a really good group. Nice way to end the meet. The rest of the card, the usual Springboard Mile supporting stakes. The You See It, you got the couple of state breds, the Jim Thorpe as well. All run at a mile. The Trapeze for the fillies, the 2-year-old fillies, and Todd Fincher may have them over a barrel in here with Olivia Twist, who was a romping allowance winner, a horse that's 2 for 2, and feels like she'll be a short price. The She's All In as well, a big full field for that, and the Jeff Hawk Memorial. There's your stake slate. So it's a nice sequence, and in terms of, you know, in terms of the wagering opportunities, the last five races, starting with the Jim Thorpe pick five. You got a late pick four, obviously. There's actually, I think, also a, did I see a, yeah, there's a early pick four starting, or middle pick four starting with the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth of the stakes. So that's the big Springboard Mile card. Happy to and excited to be here. To racing tonight, racing tomorrow. I was, when I landed, I Dale Day said, you know, stay in touch, let us know when you get in, and so I we landed at 9:30. He said, you might be here for the late pick four. Like, holy cow, they went late. Yeah, it's late night action. And plenty wintry. It's a gorgeous, a beautiful, crystal clear morning here. So I think we dodged that storm that is heading through the middle part of the country, right? Yeah, kind of came. I'm trailing just behind the storms. So the other Saturday, big Saturday, important race, the Futurity at Los Al, drew yesterday as well. And as Steve Anderson had hinted to you, field of five, and Arabian Lion leading that group. And certainly notable because it was Giant Mischief who beat Arabian Lion at Keeneland. So Giant Mischief here at Remington in the mile, and Arabian Lion, the horse to beat by then and then some by Justifying for Zidane. And I hope I you know, we mentioned Gary Young yesterday with Jim Cassidy, and I imagine Gary's going to have to pull himself off the couch with his rotator cuff surgery, And I'm sure he'll be there at Los Al on Saturday. Arabian Lion Johnny Velasquez out to latch on with Arabian Lion. And Ramon Vasquez had broken the maiden at Santa Anita in October. And Arad aboard at Keeneland in that allowance. The rest of the field, the O'Neill team for Calumet. Leandro Mora right now with O'Neill sidelined for 30 days. Tallboy. Looking at Lucky Colt and a maiden. Carmel Road for Baffert and SF. SF is going to send two in here looking for black type. And Carmel Road tried the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, and that was a disaster. Coming off the maiden win at Del Mar, going a mile. Seems to be working well, and would make sense as probably the second choice in here behind Arabian Lion. Fort Bragg, the Tappet that just broke the maiden at Santa Anita at the beginning of November. It's going to take the blinkers off. They put the blinkers on. It's interesting. The blinkers come off after a win. And Flavian Pratt ends up here. Practical Move for Tim Yakteen. And this is a horse that that Chad Brown and Sal Cumin bred. Chad Brown and Head of Plains. A $230,000 OBS April purchase. Practical Joke and Amstoy and Beasley on the ownership side. And so this must, the obvious inference here is that Chad with some Practical Joke seasons and hooked up with, in this case, the Sal Cumin's Head of Plains group. Blinkers come off for Yakteen here. Ramon Vasquez gets on, coming out of the Bob Hope. Practical Move. It's actually, this is a horse that has not finished first in a race, which can be tricky. Was put up in the maiden race at Santa Anita in October when Fort Bragg was disqualified. So, Practical Move. Technically a win, a second and two-thirds, but really I don't know if I remember this this DQ. Do you remember this DQ? I have to go back and watch that replay. So there's the two big two-year-old events for the weekend as things start to wind down. They wind down and then they get going after Christmas, right? The rest of the action that lined up for Saturday, New York's got a very nice card actually that includes things like the Bay Ridge and over the there's also the Alex Robb. Yeah, they got that nice card. Two of the Stallion Series races as well. The Rich Stallion Series races, and as we've explained before, and there's several maidens taking shots in here. It's $500,000 for the Stallion Series, and the Stallion Series is important because it not when you have a breeding program in a state. And we just talked this week about Snapper Sinclair and coming to New York. These races are important because it is essentially a reward, an offering for those that cover their mares in the state. You can certainly ship your mare to Kentucky and get covered in Kentucky and bring back the mare to foal in New York, but that's not. Doesn't do a lot on the sire side. I mean, we've done both. We've got the Motown baby, whose name is Landauer, and Then we've got the Leofric. That's at Rock Ridge. And, in fact, Carlisle Bell's carrying a combatant. There's not going to be a lot of those. And then we actually, so we got a mixed bag, actually. We've got the Mosler, too, the Mosler Colt. So we've done a little of everything. We one regional stallion, one Kentucky stallion, one New York stallion. But that's what these, you know, that's what this is, the stallion series. It's to support and to reward, you know, owners, breeders to cover their sires in the state. And this is, you know, this is a program. That's what the Maryland Million is. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not for quote unquote Maryland breds. It's for Maryland sired horses. Same concept. So for instance, you're looking at this group, Leoban, Tufflesburg, the Lieutenant, Reddisdale, Buston Stones, Central Banker, another Buston Stones, another Central Banker, Honorable Dillon, Central Banker, Bellamy Road, Frank Conversation, I've always was a fan of. I loved Frank Conversation. This is in the boys' race. A Union Jackson, a Majestic City. In fact, Jeff Bloom. There's a Jeff Bloom bred. Bloom Racing. Tater and Tot. And so forth. So a couple of stallion stakes and a couple of state bred stakes, the Rob and the Bay Ridge. The Alex Rob is usually a... I did not expect to print as much of the card, the Saturday card in New York as I did. It also includes an open, you know, maiden group that has got some interesting, notable runners. Tappet Trice, the Mandy Pope Gainsway $1.3 million Tappet comes back. An okay third, kind of a late running third going a mile the beginning of November. So this one comes back, $1.3 million, and the Rapoli Viola, $975,000 Curlin, bred by Curtis Mickelson and Patricia Horth and the Curlin Syndicate. Abstract. It's a good name. Abstract debuts in here. For Todd Pletcher as well. So Pletcher will have the two most notable pedigrees and price tabs in here. Chris Clement has got a Waterford homebred by Summerfront called Summer Cause, who was an okay second behind Cassis. In November. This is a mile race. So sixth race, which starts the pick five. A good card in New York on Saturday. So you got a little New York. You start in New York, go get, turn your attention to Los Al and the Futurity, and then get ready for Remington. How about that for an agenda? And actually, I should mention, too, I for the first time so far this winter, now that winter seemingly, I can tell you from a temperature standpoint, winter is upon us. There's no two ways about that. Winter's here. But I looked at Gulfstream for the first time, and things are starting to percolate, it seems, at Gulfstream. So I will reach out for Mike Welch and start to look at what's going on. The maiden races in particular Saturday at Gulfstream. Caught the attention. There's a turf sprint to start things off, you know, which are, you know, usually a grab bag. But then later, you do have the Via Borghese, which we talked about, came up with Grand Motion the other day, right? But there's also the Alan Jerkins, the 2 mile Alan Jerkins, a race that that Alan would appreciate. But in addition to those stakes, there's also a 6 furlong boys maiden special, which goes as the 8th. And these are, you know, you can start to keep your eye on these. Happens to be a New York bred Nestor Cascalaris. It's got a New York bred down there. Should be about a, it feels like a horse that should be up in New York. But that'll happen, right? There's a candy ride for Antonio Sano, Secret Threat. Looks a little interesting. In fact, notable for another reason, because that horse, because Gus King, and we came across, who was it that had a horse for Gus King? Anyway, so Gulfstream getting going, and we'll catch up with Mike Welch this weekend, on the weekend preview tomorrow, and I should also include the Oaklawn weekend is set. All 3 days of racing at Oaklawn. Ideally, let's take a peek, because hopefully after that horrifically wet weekend, oh, look at that. It's going to be cold, but sunny and gorgeous all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday at Oaklawn. Good. So the faithful can make their way out to Central Ave and take in the Oaklawn. Three good cards. And nice mix of got some maidens, and you got allowances, and I printed all the late pick 4 and late pick 5s, starting with tomorrow's action. And then on the stake front, the tinsel that we made, was it the tinsel we made reference to the other day with who, I don't know who it was that was on that had a horse. Who had a horse this week that we talked to? But the poinsettia as well. Moquette, there you go. That's what it was. It was the poinsettia. Sarah Harper, the Vancouver filly for Ron, involved here. So, 3 good days of racing at Oaklawn as well, and it'll be fast. Track will be fast. That looks like we can guarantee. All right. So I wanted to catch up on racing. We did a little bit of everything these first 3 days of the week. Speaking, by the way, of Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, might be a good place to drop in a piece of news from yesterday, and that concerns Colonial. And there's a few things that have transpired here over the last couple of weeks regarding Colonial that is you know, come under the CDI banner. They're going to move the race dates from weekday to the weekends. They're going to run Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Made that decision, and basically citing more of an attendance and you know, just getting more people to, you know, to come out for the races. You know, it obviously puts the Colonial Signal, which, you know, had a very, very strong summer, and of course 21 was a botched. Things were for a variety of reasons, weather related and so forth, that inhibited the 21 season. So this year, you know, this year's numbers were going to be very strong, but you know, this is the age old, at this point around the game, this is kind of an age old debate. Do you, you know, if you're a mid-market signal, do you segregate yourself and you know, try to draw people to your product, you know, at a set of dates that, you know, you don't have to compete with the big circuits, with New York, Kentucky, California, Florida during the winter? You know, how do you you know, how do you distinguish yourself out there in the marketplace where, you know, obviously very competitive? The meat, basically, it's another, you know, another one of the Friday, Saturday, Sunday concepts that'll go for 9 weekends, 27 race dates. And of course, as Churchill has indicated, they're going to utilize the legal parameters regarding the historic horse racing equipment. They're going to maximize that and for every machine, for every 100 machines, there's got to be a race date. And so the maximum number of machines, 5,000. So they're going to work their way up over the next few summers to 50 dates, 50 race days. So that'll you know, slowly spread out on the calendar. There's also been the news that has over the last, I don't know, I actually might have been the beginning, it was the beginning of the week. Jill Byrne and Allison DeLuca are both not returning next summer, and both have done, you know, a terrific job getting Colonial back up and running. So this is, you know, in fact, make a little note to get the further details. But that piece of news from the last couple of days. But the, you know, it's so hard. I mean, Remington's a little different just because it's a night signal. So it you know, it's a little bit of a different audience. But, you know, this conversation has come up with Canterbury. Obviously, they've tried different, you know, different rides. Delaware has tinkered with, they sort of have split the baby a little bit, do a little bit of both. Presque Isle seems to have, you know, their carved out niche. They've tinkered with the timing. You know, they had that 5:30 start for really the breadth of their, you know, since they debuted, essentially, that 5:30 start. And then they, you know, kind of put themselves more into the prime time. So it's an interesting discussion, say the least. And you know, you tinker with and see what works. They're going to run the Virginia Derby on closing day, much like the Springboard Mile here tomorrow. So that was a couple of pieces. Today, we're bouncing everybody around today because there's some people in transit and so forth. The one that I'm still not sure if we're talking momentarily to Dave Hill or we're going to talk in an hour to Dave. But Dave has been in Vegas, I think covering poker. I think there was a poker event because I saw like a hang tag. So he's on his way back from Vegas, and I can certainly commiserate. He said he was trying to do some figuring about the timing, about what time he's got to be at the airport and what time he's flying. So, you know, when we can talk. So he's saying 7:30, and we're on Central Time. And of course, yesterday I had to fly through Denver, so I had to also contend with mountain time, but 7:30. So he's saying essentially 9:30 here, right? 7:30 would be 10:30 Eastern, so 9:30. Yeah. So I'm gonna guess that we'll talk to Dave next hour. I do want to get back to Tony, and we obviously on Monday started the week sadly with J.J. Gracie's passing. There were so many nice things written. John DeSilva, who of course has been working in Philly the last, gosh, I mean, it feels like a long time already. John wrote an absolutely beautiful thing about J.J. At Facebook, and I thought that was really thoughtful, and you know, other horsemen and anybody that there's people that grew up watching him on Let's Go Racing, and some really nice things being said. So I want to catch back up with Tony for kind of a regular visit. That topic that came up yesterday in passing, as Mig, you know, Mig only had he was waiting for a doctor's appointment. He's had a crazy week, but the story, the lines involving the bug girls, that are really kind of popping up all over the place, and I would love to do some kind of a collective on them, because it's a nice story, and we'll talk with Mig next week . And I'm just going back to, I want to bring back, if you haven't seen the story that Bob Ehal wrote. And I know I had it here. I had it here somewhere. And now I'm... I would go through and pull out the printed edition that I had at my fingertips, except that we were short-circuited by Cassidy yesterday. What happened was somebody came up and was talking to Cassidy, and so when he moved the cord of the headset. I had a cup of coffee, and it took the cup of coffee with it, and it pretty much, I have no idea how much stuff I lost, but it was, it was not good. So I can't, find the story about Madison Oliver, but he wrote a really nice piece, and the Varys girl as well, that and Gage Holmes, I think the three of them collectively, we also are going to we've got a Clancy. Well, I'm not sure which Clancy, but we're owed a Clancy visit. And as I mentioned, Dale Day's doing radio himself this morning, so maybe we'll get Dale on the back end. If not today, then tomorrow. And Matt Vance, and we got to get to Rich Eng too, because we are inching closer to the release and the shipping of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies 2.0. So there you go. You know, yesterday also, I should slip this in. Try to catch up on everything. Slow but sure. Yeah, we talked yesterday when Tom Law provided the news about the release of the Joe Hirsch media wing at the Hall. And we talked about Haywood Halebrune and Damon Runyon, but the third inductee, Burt Morgan, a absolutely legendary photographer, and I mean, was around for forever, and was the New York photo agent. He and his son, and before Bob Colonnais and Adam in New York. So Florida and New York, Burt Morgan. That's a pretty, yeah, that's a pretty cool trio, actually. They kind of a one from each column. Because, you know, Woody Bruin did a little of everything. And on the TV broadcast side and more. He wrote plenty. Damon Runyon on the writing side and Morgan on the photography side. That's a nice troika of inductees. All right. Let me, I'm just trying to simultaneously confirm. One problem is getting every, I'm up, to tell you where I am. We're up on the sort of the suite level at Remington, overlooking the track. And some of the horsemen we reached out to this morning. It's a little tough to get them. They got to come over to this side, and yeah, it's a little on the tricky side. This is, you know, one thing about this, the, you know, the location of Remington that I completely forgotten about from our last visit. The entertainment complex, essentially, that's here, that's all around the racetrack. There's a bunch of things that, and I don't know the history of what came first and how much of it was a planned execution, but there's the racetrack. There's a huge, like, multi entertainment complex. There's a science museum and planetarium as well, and more. I mean, there's like a half a dozen, you know, family friendly entertainment installations that are all here, and very conveniently located. Last night when I came from the airport, I came in one way, and then I'm staying downtown, and they brought me in a different way. So I was like, and both on highway. So there's real easy access to everything that's here. And I don't know if it was planned or who started. You know, who was the first? Was the racetrack the first thing built over here? I'd forgotten that. But then this morning when I and a little bit last night, because I saw there's like a movie theater, and I think there's, you know, the little road, you know, go kart kind of a thing, and it's clever that way, you know. Dad, if you're from a family where, you know, dad's going to drop the kids off at one of the planetarium maybe, and come take in some races, and we've talked about this. One of the most impressive parts about this as a gaming racetrack, the racino term. One thing about it that really speaks to the heritage of the horse in this part of the country. They're in no way embarrassed that racing is going on at their, you know, at their facility. When you go down in the casino, there's an observation deck. that's easily accessible, that that, you know, people, when a race is coming up, they've got, you know, they've got the track feed. You know, a lot of casinos at racetracks, you know, you wouldn't know that racing is going on. That's not the case here. It's always been integrated, and people go out on the observation, you know, their seats, and or you can stand it, but it's fully, you know, fully integrated. They're not shy about having races going on here. They got a beautiful paddock too. If you've never been, they've got a, you know, right sort of tucked in right behind the building, and you know, lots of room for patrons to take it in and speak. Speaking of which, I'm curious. Let's see how, you know, let's see how temperate things will be on Saturday night. No, 40. Okay, all right. In the 40s. So dress warm. That's my advice. By post time. Oh boy. By post time, it'll be 30. It'll be 32. So I clearly, I'm going to have to get, I think we're going to have to get a pair of gloves. I did not count on this trip. I got to tell you, to have the three venues, I should have thought that, and it should have occurred to me that Oklahoma was not going to be. But I didn't expect it at Arizona and California. Yeah, you know, it was one of those absolute ironies yesterday. And you kind of, I could see it coming, you know, right when I got up and went to Santa Anita yesterday. And thanks again to Nate and to everybody at Santa Anita. That was a great way to tee up the year ahead, the season ahead. But when I went out in the morning, and I was like, "Oh, it's not." The temperature was the same, but it wasn't. It didn't feel the same. And then, sure enough, by the time I got off the air, suddenly it was 58. And then by 10, 11, I ended up. I stopped for lunch at Langer's, and by the time I was getting ready to leave, it was in the 60s, like 66, 67. I was like, "Oh boy, here it is." So, this has been between. You know, between the week plus in Arizona, 2 weeks really, and California, and at the same time, I guess I could have been victimized by this snowstorm. Pat McKenna is going to join us too, and if you didn't see yesterday, there was some numbers released from the New York Racing Coalition, and basically in support, you know, trying to rally the state, essentially, and, you know, muster. You gotta advocate. I mean, for those that haven't kept up on the discussion, the project in Buffalo was the first order of business for the state in terms of floating bonds and such. And Pat will discuss this and explain it. But, you know, essentially NYRA, you know, kind of had to wait its turn to have these, you know, the underpinnings, the financial underpinnings of, you know, state-issued bonds to fund the renovation at Belmont. So it's a campaign, and Pat will outline, you know, some of the dollars and cents involved, and the economic impact, you know, both ongoing and you know, a kind of a one of those one time, you know, the construction jobs and all that, and what it brings in. But obviously, you know, the long term health of racing, you know, downstate will rest on Belmont. And you know, Belmont Stakes Day and a new Belmont facility, a new grandstand clubhouse, is going to offer the opportunity to bring the Breeders' Cup back to New York, and that, you know, that is, I mean, you can call it a priority, but it can't be a priority until all at least the infrastructure elements are in place for, you know, what is going to be a, I'm sure the word reimagined is going to be used extensively, right? So we'll let Pat flesh that out and talk about what, why it's important and how, frankly, if you're a racing fan and most notably if you're in New York, how you can support it. So we'll look forward to Pat's visit and I think Dale just wrote me and see if he's going to be by. This morning or tomorrow. I'm trying to get. I reached out to CJ, as Andy suggested the other day, right? CJ Milkowski, Mr. Timeform US. I've not heard back yet from CJ. Hopefully, CJ can come over. I don't know how convenient it is for him to come visit, but it would be great to have CJ. I usually only see him when he comes to Saratoga over the years, and so it would be see him on his turf instead. So, all right. Well, I don't want to launch into anything here. You know, we'll do a case. Let's head to the break. Was it? Yeah, head to the break. That's fine, and we'll start bringing in the bodies as best we can, right? Yeah. All right. See about what else I've got here that I can. Did we get through? I was going to say I can't even give you a couple of the other results from the weekend that I never got to because Jim Cassidy because Cassidy I had to take it all the sopping and even it's funny even my this morning. Last night when I got to the hotel and I was pulling some paper out, everything, the pad, I did salvage the pad, which I needed, but I lost all those notes. But it smells from coffee. It's kind of funny. Coffee scented. Note paper. All right. Yeah, it's gonna be difficult to get anybody up here now. That's the problem we've got. And I hate. All right. I guess we could do some phones to the backstretch, but it's more fun when you got, you know, when you got them here. When I was here in 07, I was down in the lobby. Somehow they And that was back in the day when we had to do the ISDN lines, the hardwired lines. So much easier now. I mean, to just bop around and plug in to, you know, to any landline, the computer. But I was in the lobby down there, and I had forgotten that until last night when I walked in. I said, "Oh my God, yeah, I was right." You know, they set me up a little table by the escalators, and so the horsemen, you know, the horsemen, particularly if they went to the paddock, and that was for the classics, which were earlier in the fall, right? I think maybe in September, so it wasn't, you know, a little bit more temperate. But I mean, it's 15 years since we did drive by. Tina and I drove by on the Route 66 run, and I said to her, I said, "Look, there's Remington." But 15 years between visits. So happy to be here. All right, let's get going. We'll start the morning. Put some spurs to it. Dave Hill, Tony Black, Pat McKenna, Rich Eng. Couple of stakes horsemen and more.